on 1.3 FM, KRNG Fallon, Reno, Fernley, Sparks, Nevada, and surrounding. Biggest Little Radio presents the Rural Report with Robert Gray.
Hello, everybody. I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. This is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio 101.3 FM, our regular Tuesday show. And our guest this week is Lyon County School District Superintendent Wayne Workman. Second time, I believe, that you've been here. So thanks for coming.
It is. Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it.
So school just started about 4 weeks ago. How's the school year going so far?
You know, I've had the opportunity to not only visit all of our schools, but also with our principals at each of the schools. And every single one of them have overwhelmingly said it has been a great start to the school year. And I don't know if that's because everybody had a couple more weeks with summer and they all came back a little happier. But nonetheless, they were all excited to be back, and we've already got a lot of good things going on.
You started 2 weeks later this year than you did last year. And I see that the calendar that's being proposed for next year is to follow this year's kind of track again. What was the reason for moving it back a couple weeks?
It's a great question. The reason for moving it back a couple of weeks initially was because of an anticipated construction that was going to be taking place. And due to a lot of the permitting and some of the timelines that we ran into, we were not able to complete all of the construction or much of the construction that we wanted to complete this particular summer. So some of that construction with the safety and security upgrades will be taking place here over the winter break. And then the larger pieces of that will actually be taking place next summer. And so the reason that we're going to be proposing the same start time for next year is so that we don't lose any time coming back off of that summer. We need the full summer to get that work done.
So when will the end of the school year be this year?
So the end of the school year this year, I believe, is on June 14th. It's about right in the middle of June there. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, everybody was pretty happy coming back to school.
So when you do that, do you just take the whole nine-month calendar and just move it back 2 weeks, or do you build in days in between here to make up some of that time?
So in the master calendar, we always have a set holidays and such that are dictated by state law and sometimes federal law. And so we always keep those in. And then there's small pieces here and there that are perhaps negotiated in. Others are just places where we know that it's important that we have that time. And so to answer your question, yes, essentially you take it and you bump it back a week or two, and then that, of course, impacts the end of the school year. But everything in the middle pretty well stays the same.
Okay. If you're listening and you have a question for Superintendent Workman, give us a call at 404-1115 or put a message on the chat box at BigelsittleRadio.com. You were part of a huge meeting last week in Yerington that included the sheriff's office and all kind of different organizations from around the county talking about growth. And one of the things that I thought was interesting, you kind of laid out like where the school district is at capacity as far as enrollment compared to how much the schools can hold.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a little bit of that information?
You bet I can.
And, do you have the current this year's enrollment numbers yet, or have we reached count day yet?
We do. And what has changed is we don't have an actual count day anymore. In the past, we used to have it about the fourth week into school. That Friday would be the count day. But legislation changed a few years ago to where we are funded on a quarterly basis now.
Oh, wow.
And so because of that, they essentially eliminated count day. But nonetheless, we still have our numbers, and our total enrollment numbers, including preschool, is we're sitting just under 9,000 students. And that, of course, is a few hundred more students than we had even last year and the year before. So we are increasing our enrollment, and that is a good thing. We obviously want all of our students, and we want our students to be successful. And so you asked about the capacity in that meeting, and I, for one, am grateful that our county has started having those conversations. They, of course, started a while ago, but nonetheless, with the new highway coming into Silver Springs there, I think it's become a little bit more of a reality for us that we need to engage in those conversations. And we've actually done the same thing with our own school board. On September 12th, we held a board workshop to begin our discussions in regards to capacity and where we stand in our various enrollment areas. And you'll have to forgive me, I didn't bring the sheet with me to have the exact numbers, but essentially, what it comes down to is we're very comfortable out in Smith Valley. We've got plenty of room to grow out there. Yerington is sitting, if I remember correctly, somewhere around 55-60% capacity, so still room to grow there. Silver Stage area, Silver Springs and Stagecoach, they too are sitting around 55-60% capacity, so we do have room to grow there. Dayton is a little bit more full. Overall, they are sitting around 70% capacity across all five schools. However, our elementary schools are a little tighter. A few years ago, we moved the sixth grade from the intermediate school down to the elementary schools because we believe that to be a better pedagogical model for facilitating learning with the sixth graders. And so we have some ways that we can be creative there in Dayton to maximize our capacity there. And so as a result, we've added a couple of modular buildings to Riverview and Sutro Elementary, or one will be coming to Sutro, and that'll help us a little bit there. But that's not how we want to solve our problems, is by bringing in modulars. So we've started discussions of what to do further. In regards to Fernley is, of course, our biggest concern at this point. They are sitting about 90% capacity across the board. Some schools a little higher, some schools just a little bit lower. But the main focus of our workshop on September 12th was to start our discussions about what are we going to do in regards to Fernley and the Fernley area. Now, the easy solution would be, well, just build another school. That, of course, takes money. And the factor that we are currently fighting right now, Robert, is the what's called property tax cap, or the property tax abatement. And we estimate that over the last 10 years, we've lost out on approximately $30 million because of that cap or that abatement. And as a result, that means that we are not able to pay down our current bond debt as much as we'd like. We're obviously constantly paying it, but not as great of a rate as we wish, which means that we then cannot access as much funding as quickly as we'd like. So over the course of the next few years, we have limited funding to build new buildings or provide additions to buildings and things like that. So I think that we're going to have to be a little bit more creative than just simply adding.
Mm-hmm. About 2 years ago, the district approved I think it was a 10-year improvement plan that was basically presented and put together by a consultant that you brought in. And they came in and studied, and if I remember right, one of the recommendations in that plan, and I don't remember, it was broken down, I think, like from years like 1 to 3 and 5 to 7 and then 7 to 10. Somewhere in that range, there was a recommendation to add a school in Fernley anyway. So are you guys still on track with that plan, or?
Excellent question. You have a good memory. Yes, that is correct, that there was and there is in that plan. When we built Silverland Middle School, at the same time we did that, we had the architects go ahead and design an elementary school to go right next to Silverland Middle School. The plan actually calls for building a school there, an elementary school there, but the plan also called for demolishing Fernley Elementary School because of its age, and when a building reaches a certain age, it costs us more money to continue to put into that building than it would be in the long run to turn around and build a new one. So even though a new school was proposed, it did call for the demolition of another. And so it wasn't necessarily increasing a lot of capacity mm-hmm. in the Fernley area. So that's part of the place where we're going to have to be creative, because the irony with it is that our numbers of enrollment are tracking pretty close to what they anticipated us getting between the years of 2016 and 2025. Mm-hmm.
So if Fernley, you say, is about 90% of capacity, when do you expect to hit 100% or go above capacity?
Well, I wish it was as easy a question as that is, that I could tell you when we anticipate being there. It all depends on whether or not we're able to facilitate some of these pieces going in. For example, another piece of the plan was to add a wing onto uh-huh. East Valley Elementary School. And of course, whenever you impact one elementary school by increasing capacity, the other thing that you have to look at, and you know, I recognize this is a bit of a swear word, but it is either boundary adjustments or rezoning for schools. You know, schools become a really uh-huh. sacred place for us and our families, and we certainly recognize that. But whenever you impact one school with capacity, oftentimes you do need to adjust those boundaries. And so that would be another part of the whole equation that would allow for those increases.
Mm-hmm. Some of the other things that were in that plan, some of the other schools in like say in Yarrington, there was also a plan for replacing a school there. Are you guys still operating as if that plan was approved, that these are things you eventually want to do? Or
they are certainly things that we want to do. We certainly want to follow that plan. It was put together by professionals who spent months in our buildings and really given us an in-depth look at what they are and how they are functioning for us and what their longevity is. Again, what it comes down to, though, is the fact that it takes a lot of money to build a school. Right now, the going rate down in Las Vegas and Washoe, according to our research, is that elementary schools are costing somewhere around $25 million. Middle schools somewhere around 40 or so million, and then high schools, comprehensive high schools, that are of course a lot larger down there, they're running about 100
right.
million.
That was the point I was going to make, because when you were making your presentation at the meeting in the county last, I thought that the size of the elementary schools that Washoe or Clark build might not be that much larger than what you would, but certainly their middle schools and high schools would be. And so I didn't know comparatively how much more that would cost than what you guys might be able to do.
Correct. And so you're right. The elementary schools are typically not a whole lot larger, but the high schools and middle schools are. But the piece to that, or what's been explained to us, is that your economy of scale doesn't necessarily decrease price-wise. You still have to have the plumbing mm-hmm. fixtures and the restrooms and all that stuff that still costs that money. It doesn't decrease exponentially as you would expect. So mm-hmm. We still anticipate a new high school, for example, costing quite a bit of money.
So if you were to build a new school in Fernley at some point, that topic's gonna come up. Would it most likely be an elementary school, or you know, what would go into deciding what you would do?
Well, that was exactly the topic of discussion at our workshop, and we intend to have further workshops with our school board, and also here in the October meeting, we're gonna start having items on the agenda that the school board is going to provide us further direction on which ways they wish us to explore further. So, for example, some of the pieces that were items of discussion at our last workshop were, in fact, building an elementary school. Another item was increasing the capacity of Fernley High School. Right now, Fernley High School is pretty well getting close to capacity. So increasing capacity there. Another point of discussion that we had there was moving the ninth grade to the middle school and increasing the capacity of Silverland Middle a little bit and alleviating the pressure up at the high school. There's models of that all over the country, but that was a point of discussion. Other pieces of discussion were doing something with our early learning, so our kindergarten and preschool and things like that. If we were to take them and put them in a central location somewhere, that would alleviate pressure in our elementary schools. So there were a variety of topics, and I believe personally, there are a variety of ways that we can attack this particular issue. It's just going to be a matter of engaging in those discussions and having the factual research behind it so that our school board can make the most appropriate decisions for it.
All right, you're listening to Lyon County School District Superintendent Wayne Workman. This is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio 101.3 FM, and we'll be right back.
Follow the conversation on our chat box at www.biggestlittleradio.com. 1.3 Biggest Little Radio presents the Rural Report with Robert Gray.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter. This is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio 101.3 FM, and I'm talking with Lyon County School District Superintendent Wayne Workman. So if you have a question, give us a call, 404-1115, or go to the chat box at biggestlittleradio.com. When you were talking about adjusting for capacity of schools, you were mentioning some different alternatives that you have, and I'm kind of interested in that a little bit, because you guys have done some of that flexible stuff in Silver Stage a couple of years ago. When enrollment there was shrinking, you combined the elementary and the middle school, and then as it grew back, so how is it working out there in Silver Stage?
You know, right now it's working very well. So this is the first year that Silver Stage Elementary and Silver Stage Middle have been separated as two different schools.
How long it was? What, about 3 or 4 years that they were together?
Oh gosh, I'd have to look again. I think it was 4 or 5.
Uh-huh.
So it was a good enough amount of time that we had a lot of staff members that built a lot of cohesion together. And I think the positive thing that came from that is as they were separating, we still have a lot of the good collaborative things going on. So, for example, the grade levels are now preschool through fourth grade for the elementary, and then fifth grade through eighth grade for the middle school there. And they still have opportunities where middle school students are coming into elementary classrooms and they're reading to students and they're kind of being model students for those younger students. They have other staff member collaborative pieces where they're articulating vertically with each other and they're planning and coordinating vertically with each other. And so that's a positive thing, in my opinion, is that consolidation initially allowed that staff to come together so that they are see the big picture all the way through. It's not just necessarily isolated to their own school.
Well, you guys have 5 different attendance areas, and you have basically 4 different attendance models, because Silver Stage and Yarrington are basically on the same kind of kindergarten through fourth grade, and then fifth through eighth in the intermediate school. But it's different in Fernley, it's different in Dayton, and then of course Smith Valley's a K through 12. So
you are correct, Robert, and that is a bit of a unique challenge for us at times when we're trying to establish what really is a middle school versus others with the State Department. But nonetheless, yes, for example, we believe, and it always has been the philosophy of the superintendents who have been in this position, that there needs to be an element of community involvement and support in the decision making. So, for example, when Silverland Middle School was finished back in 2011, the original idea was that there were going to be 2 middle schools, and there would be one at Silverland and there'd be one where Fernley Intermediate School is. Well, after consulting and visiting with the community, it was really determined that might create kind of a has-been and a has-not, or a have-been and a have-not situation. And so at that point, it was the community that had the suggestion of turning Fernley Intermediate School into a 5-6 grade school, and then, of course, Silverland Middle School into a 7-8. So we have that model here in Fernley, pre-K to 4 in elementary, 5-6 at FIS, 7-8, and then 9 through 12 at the high school there. And then down in Urington, it's similar to Silver Springs now, the new model in Silver Springs, where it's pre-K through 4 and then 5 through 8 in middle and then 9 through 12 in high school. And then, of course, in Dayton, it's K through 6 or pre-K through 6 in the elementaries. And then the middle school is 7 and 8. The high school is 9 through 12. So you're right. We have a variety in the whole county.
Mm-hmm. Have you found that any of those work any better than any others, or are you pretty happy with the way they all work?
That is the unique thing about education, is that you can essentially take any model, and that goes for bell schedules, that goes for everything. And if you have the right thing in place, and that is high quality staff, then you can make anything work. And that's really what we found in all of our attendance areas. Smith Valley is a little K to 12 school, and as a K to 12 school, they have opportunities and circumstances that are unique to them, and they certainly make it work over there because of their staff. Just like all of our attendance areas, our amazing staff in Lyon County School District, they make it happen every single day in the classroom, and that's really what matters in the end.
When I can understand, once the students are in the classroom, it's all the same no matter what other grades are in the building. But are there challenges to organizing and structuring all of that?
Yes. Yes, there are. And each of our individual principals could speak mm-hmm. to each of those unique challenges.
You try to keep kindergartners not at lunch, maybe at the same time as sixth graders, that type of thing?
Precisely. Lunch times are certainly a challenge. Playground time at an elementary that has K through 6 or pre-K through 6 or pre-K through 8, that is a challenge where you want that. Typically, you want the preparation time of teachers to line up when they have like content or like grade levels. And so those can be challenges in scheduling. But like I said, once again, our administrators and our staff members, they are so creative and unique in how they design their individual school experience that they're able to make it work. And it's fun to see. It's fun to see. I invite the public to come into our schools at any point and really see what happens on a daily basis in those schools.
I'm mentioning staff and teachers, and you made the point at the meeting last week, you've talked about this before, the difficulty of finding teachers and keeping teachers. How is the district in that regard right now? Are you fully staffed, or are you still short?
It's a great question. We are still short, filling just a few positions with some long-term substitutes. But in reality, we are fortunate to be a lot better off than a lot of our surrounding districts, and certainly Clark and Washoe. It is a nationwide issue, and we are certainly working very hard to recruit and retain high-quality staff. And that goes for every subject, every level, every position. And so we not only attend various recruiting fairs and such, but we're also working diligently to problem solve within our own state and with our system of higher education and ways that we can support each other there, and also really starting to encourage our own to enter the education field.
Has your turnover rate the loss of teacher rate, I don't know what the proper term for that would be, but has that remained pretty stable, or has it changed at all?
You know, it has remained pretty stable, and again, we're very fortunate for that, because there are others that are not seeing the same thing. We typically lose anywhere between each year, anywhere between 30 to 50 instructional staff members, and that is primarily a result of retirement. Other times it can be a teacher choosing to go to another district because the family moved or the spouse moved, and or any variety of reasons that way. But we provide opportunities for those folks who are leaving us to provide us feedback, and we share that with our school board. And overwhelmingly, our teachers are very satisfied, and our staff members are very satisfied working in Lyon County School District. And so we're happy about that feedback.
A lot of the teachers that you guys hire, you mentioned some of the recruiting fairs you go to. You guys have, it seems like, an influx of young teachers a lot. Do you find, is it a problem where you have teachers that gain a little bit of experience and then they move on to a bigger school district, or...
We have not identified that as a problem. I think when people have the opportunity to come to Lyon County School District and see what we're all about and be engaged in their own individual schools, they're pretty satisfied is what the data is showing us, excuse me. And so we're not necessarily seeing that. But what we are seeing, believe it or not, is not necessarily a lot of younger teachers coming in from those recruiting fairs, but it's seasoned teachers. In reviewing our data, we've got teachers from South Carolina, Alaska, Virginia, just all over the country that are coming to us, and we're looking forward to the experiences that they're going to bring and what they're going to be able to teach our students.
Yeah, I haven't met a whole lot of your new teachers yet this year, but last year too, here in Fernley, a couple, but even across the district, you had some people who maybe had been out in the professional career and turned to teaching later in their career and had been working in other fields.
Absolutely. And one of the policy changes that our school board implemented a couple of years ago is accepting all of their experience from out of state. It used to be that they would only give them up to five years of experience from out of state on the pay scale. And when we started having this staffing shortage, we brought a proposal to them that we would accept all of their experience. And I think that has really helped us in recruiting some of those seasoned teachers from other states.
Another program I'm interested in a little bit, I got to take a tour 2 years ago with Governor Sandoval at Dayton and going through the career and technical education program that they have there. And you have different programs kind of in each of the schools, but are you seeing more students get interested in the career and technical programs?
Yes, and really depending on our offerings and how we're able to offer our students. And you are correct. We have different programs in every area. So, for example, in Fernley, Yerington, and Smith Valley, they've got an agriculture program, and all three of them are doing very well and have very very good staff members who are driving the incredible things going on with their programs. Out in Dayton, they've got the culinary program that's been highly successful for a number of years. You've got welding and different construction nursing classes, and certainly our nursing. I'm glad you mentioned that has been a great success for us. And that too is one thing that we're finding a difficult time doing is finding qualified 4-year registered nurses who can teach the program. They're kind of I don't want to call them a dying breed, but they are certainly are fewer of them available than there has been in the past. But yes, the interest in CTE, and now with a movement towards robotics and more higher tech type things is a place that we're looking to go so that we can really capture the interest of even more students.
All right. Well, it's hard to believe, but our half hour is up. So I want to thank you for coming in, and maybe we can get you back because we barely scratched the surface on some of the things we could talk about. So
you bet. Anytime. Yeah. It's certainly my pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and make sure you tune in next Tuesday. But today we've been talking with Lyon County School District Superintendent Wayne Workman. I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter, and this is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio 101.3 FM.